Within the last month, the people of Puerto Rico have taken to the streets and have forced the resignation of the governor of Puerto Rico. This example reminds us that we, the people, as a constitutional matter, do not need to work through forms of government, the legislature, to bring about constitutional change. It's an interesting example of what might be called popular constitutionalism.
Welcome to the Rudman Center podcast. Learn more about the Warren B. Rudman Center for Justice, Leadership, and Public Service at law.unh.edu/Rudman. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire.
What does the term popular constitutionalism mean?
There was a book written by a guy named Larry Kramer, who was the dean of Stanford Law School, well-known legal scholar, called The People Themselves, in which and it was published in 2004. He, in the book, argued that we had sort of lost touch or lost track of the fact that the Constitution should preeminently be enforced by we the people and not by an elite, unelected judiciary. And so it's an argument for an approach to constitutional interpretation, and it's one that is not accepted by all. There's actually quite a robust debate in the academic community about it. But what it did was sort of remind us that the idea of constitutional enforcement did not arise during, for example, the civil rights movement in the 20th century in the United States courts. If we could time travel back to London a couple hundred years ago and ask somebody walking the streets of London, is there an English constitution? The answer we would get to that question is yes. Now, there was no written document, and there's certainly no tradition there of enforcing a written English constitution to hold laws of parliament, for example, unconstitutional. The notion of a constitution, that which is constituted, i.e. parliament and the crown, that was thought to be a constitution and was described as such. And so there were mechanisms at the time for enforcing that English constitution. It just wasn't through lawsuits and through courts. What it was through was demonstrations and mob actions. Larry Kramer points out that history in his book and talks about how, you know, in our system, we certainly have a lot more mechanisms available to us, i.e. elections, for bringing about constitutional change. But he argues that the courts should be more deferential to expressions of popular majorities by, we the people today. And so anyway, it's an academic debate that sort of sits in the background. But what makes the Puerto Rico example so interesting is it reminds us that the old techniques for enforcing the Constitution are still available. You know, it's not the case always that we have to go through the court system or wait for the next election. People in sufficient numbers in the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico took to the streets. They shut down traffic. It was in the form of a celebration, but they expressed the view, enough is enough. We're sick of this corruption. We're sick of being patronized. And we don't want to go through a formal impeachment process. We want him out now.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah, and there was, just so people are aware of what went on with Puerto Rico, the governor at the time, he's no longer there, was accused of corruption, of speaking ill of his people, not respecting his people, abusing his power. And the citizens rose up, and over 2 months, something like that, protests just escalated more and more to the point where this is what happened.
Yeah. And I actually even think it was a more condensed period of time than that. But yeah, what happened, what really was the triggering event was that this independent news agency came into possession of a text conversation group of which the governor was a part. And there was all sorts of offensive stuff in there, misogynistic language, homophobic language, jokes made about body following the hurricane. But, you know, obviously, Puerto Rico has been under a lot of stress since the hurricane. It's been under stress before that with bankruptcies and financial difficulties. But, you know, the release of these text messages just seems to have had this effect of breaking the camel's back. Mm. And so we see in a relatively short period of time a fundamental transformation of government on the island. As we sit here today, the governor has actually announced that he will be leaving today, but we still don't even know who the successor is. is. So it's chaotic. Yeah. It's crazy. It's remarkable.
And we'll be really interesting to see how the power vacuum kind of gets filled. What's kind of nice is that it's the United States. Like, we talk about power vacuums in other countries where it's catastrophic. At least in our situation, there's democracy behind it to kind of like, we're going to do elections. We have a system for it, and it's not going to end up like what happens in the Middle East, for example.
That's right. Although even within the United States, right? Mm-hmm. You know, this is an example that there can be a point in time where enough is enough. You know,
right.
We haven't seen that, you know, in the mainland United States really since the 60s, right? And since the, you know, opposition to the Vietnam War and some of the, you know, just the cultural protests of the 1960s, the civil rights movement, the movement for women's rights. We're in a time right now where I think a lot of people feel helpless and feel like the organs of government are not responding to we the people. But this is a small reminder. That's not something that just has to be accepted as inevitable, even though it may feel that way to people today.
What other specific changes in history have been a result of this happening?
It's really throughout American history.
Yeah.
There have been situations. There were certainly times where I think of it because of my, you know, interest in constitutional law and the fact that I teach a constitutional law course. I think of it in terms of times where the people sort of sent the message to the judiciary that we need change now. One such time was in the 1930s. Coming out of the Great Depression, 1932, Franklin Delano Roosevelt elected president, promising a New Deal. That period between 1932 and 1936 saw a much more conservative Supreme Court hold unconstitutional many aspects of this legislative New Deal that was enacted into law. Famously, FDR threatened to pack the court with more justices. Whether it's causation or correlation, who knows? But in 1937, the court backed down and went into a long period where it didn't hold any federal statutes unconstitutional, you know, for almost half a century or so. It was just the people themselves insisting that, you know, in light of the Depression, in light of the unemployment rate, in light of the hunger, we needed to transform our government and have a more active, far more active and far more involved federal government. Now, some people like that, some people don't like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and there have been other times too. You know, there was, you know, Andrew Jackson back in the 1830s, there was widespread dissatisfaction with the court. And Andrew Jackson, you know, was sort of famously for thumbing his nose at the court and saying, you know, okay, the famous line attributed to Jackson is that, okay, Chief Justice Marshall has, for the Supreme Court, made his ruling. Now let's see him enforce it. And so, you know, I mean, again,
Larry, just a little problematic.
Exactly, right, because the courts, I mean, the power of judicial review, which is the term we use to describe that power of final say about the meaning of our Constitution, which lies with the courts, that power will only be respected if the courts are understood to be acting within proper parameters,
right.
Because they don't have the power of the purse, and they don't have the power of the sword.
Right.
And so, you know, over time, it has proved to be the case that where the Supreme Court and the courts generally get out of step with the sense of the people, inevitably, the people's will prevails in different ways. Not always quite so dramatically as we're seeing in Puerto Rico right now.
This is fast.
Yeah,
I mean, this is very surprising. I mean, it's partially a result of where we are with modern technology, where word can spread that quickly.
Exactly.
It's not relying on pamphlets to be passed around.
That's right. And I don't want to misstate it. I mean, this isn't responsive to like court decisions that
right.
are going down. Okay. It's just the people saying enough is enough. And we're not even going to go through the system of government. We don't want to wait till the next election, which is coming up next year. We want change right now.
Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire.